2 Timothy chapter, I said chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and notice in I'm just going to start with verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He hurt him. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, here it is, no man stood with me, but all men, what? Forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And notice in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all. Now how many's all? Do you know what that word all means in the Greek? It means all. All is all. It's not some, it's all. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Now look with me in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Now these things is, and notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now you remember in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil. What did he do? He withstood the words of Paul. Do you know what modern blasphemy is today? It's withstanding the words of Paul. It's being in opposition to Paul. Do y'all see that? I mean people today that are in the body of Christ or outside the body of Christ, and they're in direct opposition to the preaching that was delivered to the Apostle Paul, and they say we don't follow Paul and follow this. They are blaspheming the Spirit of God in the dispensation of grace. And Paul said, you turn that crowd over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And there are preachers all over the country today that blaspheme every Sunday. Why? They're in opposition of truth. They don't believe in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They do not believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. I've heard them say that they didn't even believe in dispensation, and yet dispensation is a good biblical word, and it's all through Paul's epistles. Now, I want you to look at some things with me. And I want you to, first of all, now, my dad, my mother knew absolutely, my mother got to know a little bit, but my dad knew nothing about rightly dividing the Bible. My dad was a Baptist all his life. He was a deacon in the Baptist church where I grew up. I remember seeing my dad reading his Bible. I studied the Sunday school quarterly, and the Sunday school lesson he taught the adult class, the men's class in that church for years. And he did not know anything about rightly dividing the word of truth. He knew only what was taught to him in that Baptist church. Now, I want you to understand something. I believe my dad will get rewards for what he did know. I believe he was a saved man. I've heard his testimony. Before he got sick, I talked to him about his salvation. And he told me when he got saved, he was in a Methodist church. A Baptist getting saved in a Methodist church. But anyway, he got saved. And they called it a mourner's bench in that time. And he was at a camp meeting at a Methodist somewhere, and he got saved. And I praise the Lord. That's great. It's all right. I have nothing against the denominations of this world except for the fact they're robbing the body of Christ. Now, I do not blame my dad as much as I blame the preachers and the teachers for not doing the job that God called them to do. Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. They're not doing their job. In Ephesians chapter 4, a reference to the church in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting is the same word as mending. It has to do with putting back together, bringing them into the unity, for maturing them, that they mature and age in the Lord, full grown a son, a man, Christ, the man of the body of Christ. Look what he said. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, the pastor's and teacher's job is to perfect the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry. If the pastors and teachers is not an evangelist, are not doing the job that God called them to do, then the saints won't be able to do the job work of the ministry, and the whole thing falls flat on its face. Look what he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You understand? The faith. That faith is the doctrine delivered to the body of Christ. Do you realize that God would have every saved individual in the world today to believe the same thing? Why? God is not the author of confusion. And if when people believe different things, people look at it and say, well, who's right? That's confusion. God has one body, one Lord, one Spirit, so there is no confusion. And so God would have all men to believe that's saved in the body to believe the same thing. But tell me something. Do all saved people believe the same thing today? Sorry. Do this. Then can they do the work of the ministry? Can the body edify itself? No. Now look what he said. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto a perfect man, a matured man, a full-grown man. Now we have a lot of babies in here. Precious, aren't they? You wouldn't take them little babies and put them in your job in the morning and say, now you do a good job and I'll give you something. You say you lost your mind. No matter how cute, precious, beautiful they are, they can't do the work that an adult can do. Right? And yet that's what we have in the dispensation of grace today. We got a bunch of babies that's trying to do the adult's work. We're not fully grown, matured in the Lord. And the only way you can have that is to believe and be in unity of the faith. Man, this thing just keeps growing. Now look with me. Look back in chapter 4, in verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord. How many faiths? One. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Folks, no doubt about it, God's oneness. The number one is unity. There's no division in one. You can't divide one. One is one. And God said it so. And God gave the one apostle to the Gentiles and gave him the one faith for that body and what he's doing today. And when people are in opposition of that one faith and that one doctrine and that one apostle, then they're outside and they're blaspheming and they're not maturing the saints of God. You know what most preachers want? They want to get you to shout. I mean, in this area, that's all you have. They try to work people up to get them emotion, shed a few tears, walk the aisle and shout and ever how hoot and holler. And boy, we had a spiritual service today. Woo, power of God was there today. Goosebumps run up my spine today. I mean, tell me something. Did you learn anything? Oh, boy, we had a great time. What did you learn? What did the preacher preach? I don't know. We had the big preacher today. God has chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, when you know when the Spirit of God's working in a congregation is when that book is open and you begin to see things in that book and you say, wow, and you begin to learn. You know what that is? That's revival. It has to do with this book. It ain't got to do with the delivery or the preacher or the man or what kind of singing we have or who cried or who hollered or whatever. It's what you learn in this book. And sometimes we, you know, I never get tired of hearing the gospel. I never get tired of hearing truths in this Bible about the Word of God, rightly divided. Even though I've heard them before, it's just always fresh to me. It's always fresh. And it never fails. I mean, I go and I listen to tapes that I've heard over and over, but it's always fresh. Why? That's God's message. So I'm not here to try to get you to shout. If you want to shout, shout, man. I don't care. I'm not here to try to get you to cry. If you want to cry, cry. Sometimes it just swells up and you want to cry, cry. But I am here to present you the Savior of the body, the head, and to present you how you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring you into maturity. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to be something. Now here's the whole thing. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's the whole thing of this point. It ain't the whole thing of the message here. I hadn't even got to my message yet. Connor went, no, I'm just kidding. He don't know. He's looking around and saying, what do you call my name out for? Look in chapter 3. Notice what he says. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive. And you know that he that planteth, we're one in Christ. And God's the one that's going to do the work, the increase. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So you got to work. You're laboring. You're doing something. For you are God. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. In other words, He's putting together a building, a vineyard, so to speak, a husbandry. We tend to the business of the Lord. Now he says, Paul said, I laid the foundations. Come down to verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, notice the work, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not how much it is, what sort it is. Well, what is the work? That's what I'm interested in. Well, look over in chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Now watch it. Are not ye my what? Work in the Lord. Well, who's Paul's work? Huh? The people. Of what sort it is. Turn to back in Timothy. In Timothy. Remember the house? Now folks, there ain't no doubt about this thing. Notice in 2 Timothy, he's talking about, well, let's just start in there, verse 15. Well, that's a good one. You know it by heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? But, and the verse 16 is set in opposition of verse 15. But shun profane and vain babblings, if they don't rightly divide the word of truth, even though they're using scripture, it's just vain babblings. How do I know that? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word will eat if doeth a canker. It's like a gangrene. It's like a cancer. It just keeps growing and eating at them. Of whom is who? Hymenaeus. Remember him? And Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. They were teaching, wasn't they? And their teaching was vain babblings, and erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrowed the faith of some, made shipwrecked. Now folks, there ain't no doubt about it. They didn't say there wasn't no resurrection. They just misplaced the resurrection. They didn't follow verse 15. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth. They're teaching. Now watch it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, has to do with idols, idolatry. We can look at that in a minute if I get time. Verse 20, but in a great house, remember the house? There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Well, that house is that building. Well, the preachers and the teachers is out there. And folks, God gave them to perfect the saints. And their work labors together with God. What work it is. It's people, folks. Don't you get it? And I want you to be an honor to me. You're my work in the Lord. I want you to be a vessel of gold. Of silver. How do I get you to be a vessel of gold and silver and precious stones? By teaching you the truth of this book rightly divided. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and my work is going to be revealed, my motive for preaching, my work's going to be you. And if I present you and before the Lord as a vessel of gold because you learned this book and you studied this book and you believed this book and you followed me and you became a vessel of gold in the house that God's built, you a vessel of honor, and the Lord can use you, and you will go out and your part in getting other members of the body of Christ established in the faith, they'll be your work. Don't you see how it goes? Just chain reaction. It ain't how much, it's what sort. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord says, okay, here's your work. And I look out there and there you are. And I have taught you the truth, and you have grown in the grace. Now some of you, if you don't receive it, I can't make you. You'll stand there and you'll be one of the earthen vessels. And you can't say, why didn't you teach me the truth so I could be like them? No. And then the Lord says, okay. Then he, Winston, where's your work? Well, you helped this one and that one. And look at there. There they're gold. There's a silver for you, Winston. Not how much, not the amount, but what sort. That's where the reward comes in at. Don't you want to be a vessel of honor? Now, the further away we get from the Lord in this Bible, the deeper we get in idolatry. And the turn of the century, they started changing the Word of God. And the RSV in late 1800s, the RSV come out. And then since then, there's been copies come out, RSV, ASV, the NIV, and all of these things. And the further we get away from the Bible, the God's Word, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the deeper we get into idolatry. Now, there are some reasons why. And I won't give you just these reasons, and I'm going to let you go. You look back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we see preachers today, they're not perfecting the saints. They're not making gold and vessels in their assemblies by rightly dividing the word of truth, by teaching the truth of this Bible, by having their people to follow Paul. People will not. The second thing I want you to know is people don't endure sound doctrine. Look in chapter 4, verse 3. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now there's got to be a reason why preachers don't preach today the Word of God rightly divided. There's got to be a reason why people won't endure sound doctrine. And so I want to give you these reasons. Number one, people want the praise of men more than the praise of God. Notice I want you to take two passages, but take 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. That's the motive, the intent of the heart, why you do what you do. You have a motive for doing everything you do. Everybody, you had an intent, you had a motive for coming today. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that motive's going to be brought out. Now watch what he says. Make manifest the counsel of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. If your motive is right. Or what is the motive? Do all that you do for His glory. Not for your glory. If you're doing it for your glory, He's not going to praise you at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, take with me and look over and look in, let's see, John, the book of John. John chapter 12. And I think John brings out, and you have this motive here. Reason number one that people won't preach and believe, they want the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, the praise of God's going to come at the judgment seat of Christ. You might not get much praise down here. Paul didn't. Every boat he got on sank. You think about poor Paul. I mean, he'd get on a ship, that ship go down. After a while, you say, what is going on here? Throwed in jail, beat, whipped, stoned, been in perils of the deep, left out into the sea. Everywhere he went, there was people following him around to stir up trouble with him. We'd be praying, God, kill this bunch. Why are you letting this happen to me? You don't see that with Paul. He just kept a going. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, isn't that something? Do you know there are people today that see the truth of this book rightly divided? They see it and they know it's the truth. But because of the Pharisees out there in the religious system, they want their applause and they want their praise. And so they won't let nobody know what they believe. And they'll take the truths and preach them up to a point, but what they will not cross that line where it will jeopardize their denominational systems. Because they want that praise of men. Oh, they'll say, man, no, I don't care whether men baloney. Number two. And that has to do with their motive again. Number two, look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Why people won't believe this book rightly divided, won't preach it, teach it so people can grow. Number two, people don't want to suffer persecution for the truth. They want the praise of men, but they certainly won't suffer persecution for this book. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They're going to tell people they need to get circumcised because they know if they don't, they're going to get persecuted. There could be no clearer subject in this Bible than water baptism and what Robbie brought out today in the class and on the thing. Folks, it is clear as a bell. But people won't believe it. Why? They don't want to suffer persecution. They call you a Bullinger, right? a hyper-dispensationalist, Stamite. They call you names like that, you're a cult. Leave him alone. I had this young man call me and he wanted to come. He was a missionary. And I said, well, what church you go to? And he told me, oh yeah, I know your pastor. He said, could I come and present my work? And I said, sure. And by the way, tell your preacher I said hello. He said, I'll do that. Well, I knew what was going to happen when he told his preacher. I said, come on, man, be glad to have you. I was gone. I come home one day and Jim said, so-and-so called. He can't come. I said, oh, he told his preacher. And I said, hello. Hadn't heard from him since. I know his preacher. He doesn't believe this book. People don't want to suffer for it. I don't like to be called names. I don't like to suffer. I know more than anybody else. I guess the weirdest thing that was said, this guy was talking about some guy, and they said, and I said, well, what are they? He's talking about they should leave me alone. I said, is that what this pastor told him? I said, yeah. And he said, I said, is that what he told you? I said, well, just tell me, why did he tell you to leave me alone? He said, because he said, you're a Baptist brider. Now, you know what a Baptist brider is. That's somebody who believes you're not saved unless you're a Baptist. Now, do y'all think I'm a Baptist brider? I mean, people make up all sort of things just to try to tear you down and to belittle you in the eyes of other people because they don't want the other people to hear what you got to say, because I'm going to tell you something. You can't do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, this book will open the eyes of the blind. Number three. People want to glory in your flesh. Look back in Galatians there in chapter 6. Verse, he said they make a fair show in the flesh. Verse 13, neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, look at that verse. But desire to have you circumcised. They don't even keep the law, but they want you circumcised that they can glory in your flesh. Wait, how can they glory in the flesh of those that get circumcised? By counting them. Look what we done. We had so many circumcised today. Now, we don't say that today. You know what we say. We put it in our little programs. We had so many baptisms today. Glory in the flesh. When God said there's only one. Now I see the water of spirit. And I'm not here to bash. I got friends that's in other denominations. I got family that's in other. I'm not here to do that. But let me tell you something. When the denominational systems and the religious systems of this world go against this book, you throw that in the trash. You don't change the book to fit the denomination. You change the denomination to fit the book. People's asked me, say, why do you have Charity Bible Church? Why don't you be something, put another name? Why ain't Charity Baptist, Charity Methodist? Why is it just Charity Bible? Because that's what we believe. Do you know why they call John the Baptist? His name wasn't Baptist. It was John the Baptist because he baptized. Everybody in the world that baptizes is a Baptist. There are Catholic Baptists, Methodist Baptists, Baptist. I mean, there are Holiness Baptists. Everybody that baptizes is a Baptist. Well, I don't baptize, so I don't put that on there. I believe there's one, the Spirit. I believe that's done by the Holy Spirit when you trust Christ as your Savior. You're baptized by one Spirit into that body. Amen. Why do I want to glory in your flesh? Why do I want to make a show of the flesh? Look how many. Come, walk the aisle. God can save you where you're at. Straighten your life out where you're sitting right now. I mean, you don't have to get up, come up here. This ain't no altar. The altar's Calvary. That's where the sacrifice was made. People don't. They want the glory in your flesh. They don't want to suffer persecution. They want the praise of men. They want to be able to brag about what they've done, what they're doing. They want to brag about their church steeples and their parking lots and the crowds that they got. They want to brag, make people feel good when they come. I'd rather you learn one truth from this book each time you come than anything else. Number four, here's their carnal. I'm telling you, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now it's just 11:30, and I'm already on my fourth point. I don't have a five. But these last two might be 20 minutes apiece, so I'm just kidding you. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, notice what he said, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They wasn't full-grown men, were they? I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, just like the little babies in here. You wouldn't. Now, we're glad to have Tammy here and her daughter. That's what the glow is over there with Bobby and Danny that's coming up. You know what? Bobby wouldn't take a steak and cut that steak off and a big chunk and give it to her granddaughter. Feed her milk. But now, 10 years from now, the Lord willing, it'd be sort of foolish if Bobby only fed her milk, right? Y'all, all right, that's what Paul's talking about. For you're, look what he said, you're not able to bear it, just like she wouldn't be. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, now here's the truth to it, while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? In other words, they were putting the emphasis on the man. Look back in chapter 1, in verse 10. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, of my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, every one of you says, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Paul crucified for you? Folks, don't you see that? The body of Christ was divided up in sects, and that's carnality. You know what the denominations of the world today? That's carnality. I don't care what anybody says about it. That's what this book's talking about. And look what he said in verse chapter 2. He said, "My brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now why? Look down, he's talking about verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." That's the meat. That's what he couldn't give to the Corinthians. Why? They were divided up. You know why people today can't see the truth of this book rightly divided? They're carnal. They're glorying in the flesh. They're glorying in where they go to church. They're glorying in some building, in some man. And the body of Christ is divided. And they can't stand the meat of the Word. They won't endure sound doctrine. The last thing, people glory in bodies and denominations. The mystery is not the meat for them. The meat was wrote down for you. Look what he says there in chapter 2. He said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, mature, grown, yet not the wisdom of this world." And by the way, the wisdom of this world comes from the God of this world. Don't ever forget it. He said, "The wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom." It was hid in God. It wasn't hid in the Word of God. It was hid in God. And it was not, and nobody knew what that mystery, that secret was until God Himself revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And the Corinthians, because they were divided in sects and they were following men and they had their own cliques, they couldn't receive the meat that Paul had for them. He had to feed them milk. Because they were carnal. And they gloried and bragged. I'll never forget going out to the side of a big church. Big white columns and had big floodlights out in the... You've seen them go by and they had them floodlights on it. And the steeple was lit up and the big white columns and... I was standing there looking and the pastor of the church looks over at me and says, "That brother, that preaches Jesus, don't it?" Glorying and you think, and God says, "The heavens and heavens cannot contain me, and you're going to build me a house?" God don't dwell in houses made with man's hands. We don't glory in religion. We don't glory in men. You don't glory in me. You tell glory in the God of this Bible that gave and shed His blood to give you eternal life. We people today don't want that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close, chapter 4. And I hope this ain't your case, but it could be. Verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost." Paul's gospel. Not the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the circumcision, not the everlasting gospel. It's Paul's gospel. If that gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now watch it. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Because they didn't believe, they got blinded. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. How does Satan blind people's eyes and minds? Hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. How in the world? I think about that verse in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the way, the end thereof, is death. The way of murder doesn't seem right. The way of thievery doesn't seem right. The way of lying doesn't seem right. What seems right? What way seems right? How does Satan, the god of this world, what does a god want? He wants his subjects to worship him. Where? How does he blind people's minds? Through religion and idolatry. And that's how they get blind. I've had them to say, well, Dr. So-and-so don't believe that. And you know God would have showed it to him. It doesn't matter. So, well, who are you? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But I believe this book. People don't want the truth today. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the end of the dispensation of grace, the worse it's going to get. I hope you're a vessel of gold, silver, precious stone. In God's great house, I want you to be a vessel of honor. Thank you. Shake hands with one another.